next on the 5 o'clock report.
We definitely would appreciate being able to stay open past 11.
It definitely feels like deja vu all over again.
My favorite Jeopardy category was probably the Bible category.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. President Biden moving up the deadline for all U.S. adults to be eligible for COVID vaccinations.
We're the first country to administer 150 million shots and the first country to fully vaccinate over 62 million people.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said it's being changed from May 1st to April 19th. Psaki acknowledged Americans are tired of the virus and said they are being asked to sacrifice a little while longer.
I believe by the end of the summer, we'll have a significant portion of the American public vaccinated.
Mr. Biden visiting a vaccination site in Northern Virginia today, urging everyone to get a shot when it's their turn. Meanwhile, CBS's David Begno in Lansing, Michigan.
It definitely feels like deja vu all over again.
Dr. Meredith Hill is the medical director of the emergency department here at Sparrow Hospital, which is nearing capacity yet again.
We are running probably 95-96%.
Michigan's test positivity rate is over 17%, compared with nearly 4% just a month ago.
There's obviously more community spread right now. Schools are going back into session, sports teams.
Cases right now are the highest among those 10 years old to 29, and they're the lowest for those 70 and older.
To Minneapolis, Police Lieutenant Johnny Mercel taking the stand today in the Derek Chauvin trial. The man who trains officers told the jury at the time of George Floyd's death, neck restraints were allowed as a last resort if other techniques failed.
The subject was under control and handcuffed, would this be authorized?
I would say no.
Police in Maryland say a Navy medic has been identified as the suspect that shot two people in Frederick this morning. WTOP's Neil Augenstein.
Chief Jason Lando says the shooter drove about 10 minutes to Fort Detrick, where he was shot by police on the base.
They're all adult males, the shooter and both victims.
One of the two victims is still in critical condition, but Lando says the second victim is being treated and will likely be released from the hospital tomorrow. 18-hour surgery. Surgeons are making history at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. A team of doctors performed the world's first human tracheal transplant. The patient, a 56-year-old woman who suffered damage from her windpipe due to repeated intubations from an asthma attack. The procedure has the potential to save thousands of lives. And Franklin Graham scores a win for religious freedom in the UK. Manchester County Court Judge Claire Evans ruling the 2018 Lancashire Festival of Hope with Franklin Graham was discriminated against when ads promoting the event were pulled from buses in Blackpool, England, in an effort to block him from preaching the gospel. Still to come this Tuesday, COVID shots for folks 16 and up in New York, a win for life in Pennsylvania, and joshing on Jeopardy.
Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For tonight, rather cloudy, couple of scattered showers, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow, chance for a shower, especially in the morning in western Pennsylvania. Otherwise, some sunshine, the high in the 60s. We'll have some sunshine on Thursday, high temperatures in the mid-60s to the middle 70s. It'll be cooler along the shores of Lakes Erie and Ontario.
Now for what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Governor Andrew Cuomo says there are no excuses towards not getting the coronavirus vaccine, with everyone 16 and up now eligible in New York. James Flippin reports.
Standing in front of a large sign that read "No Excuses" inside of the Javits Center in Manhattan, Cuomo continued to push his Vaccinate New York campaign, with everyone 16 and up now allowed to sign up for an appointment.
Get your vaccination done. It is your duty. It's smart. It's right. It's easy. It's fast. It's safe.
Cuomo going on to say he and his family have all taken the shot when eligible, and adding that New York had their own experts do research as to its safety.
Pro-lifers cheer a victory in PA. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has the story.
The Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court has upheld a 1985 law that bars state taxpayer dollars from being used for abortions, except in the cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. The law is PA's version of the Hyde Amendment, which was passed by Congress. According to the Family Research Council, the 6-1 decision also blocks abortion businesses from challenging a prohibition. in on taxpayer dollars paying for abortions. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
Tonight marks the second night bowling alleys, gyms, and movie theaters can stay open past 11, yet restaurants are still under curfew and have to close their doors early. Family Life's Sarah Harnish takes a closer look.
Wolf's general manager in Syracuse, Joseph Jones, says the law doesn't make any sense.
We definitely would appreciate being able to stay open past 11. I think that the risk factors in all of the other establishments that are able to do so are very similar to a restaurant.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says he'll reevaluate the rules for restaurants later this month, but tonight they're closed at 11, and the bowling alley is the place to go for late night food. Restaurant owners, they're trying to keep their chin up.
Just really stayed positive, and I think that reflects during the day, the work hours, when customers come in, they feel that positivity.
Following the rules in Syracuse. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Democratic Congressman Elsie Hastings, the longest-serving member of Florida's congressional delegation, has died. He suffered from pancreatic cancer. Broward Commissioner Dale Holness remembering his friend today.
Congressman Hastings was a voice for those without a voice. His impact on our lives will be very long-lasting.
Next at 5, Lockport, New York, Steve Ritchie has a testimony that reminds us God can do more than we imagine, even in the toughest of circumstances.
I was a police officer for 29 years in the city of Lockport. The last 17 of those was as a canine officer. We had a gentleman with an AK-47 that pulled up outside a bar, shot the new boyfriend of an ex-girlfriend. And that happened probably about 11 o'clock at night, and throughout the night we were trying to chase him down, and eventually we caught up to him in a trailer park, and as we sat there waiting, he came back out towards us and saw headlights coming, and all of a sudden I started seeing flashes from his car, and that was, he actually was shooting through his windshield, firing into my car. Wow. And one of the first rounds that came through my windshield, that struck me in the jaw. I laid across the seat so to protect myself as the rounds were coming in through. He then rammed my vehicle, continued to push it back. He wasn't going to go anywhere. He wanted suicide by cop at this time. He wanted to end it there. So the round stopped coming into my vehicle. I thought, okay, now I got to get out of this car. I'm a sitting duck in here. As I got out and drew my gun up and pointed it at his vehicle, he shot me through again. That shot struck me in the chest, out my back, along my spine, instantly paralyzed my right arm, went through my lung. Now I'm like, I gotta just run. I saw another police car up ahead. I'm going to run to that car. Got about halfway. I couldn't run anymore. My lung was filled with blood. I couldn't breathe. And it was just like, okay, I just got to lay down here and hopefully he'll leave me alone. But as I was laying on the ground, he would fire at me as I was laying on the ground. And that's when he shot me, ended up shooting me in both my legs at that point. Eventually, he wandered off into the wooded area and he shot himself in the head and committed suicide.
So he was dead and you were in the hospital and you were declared dead 4 times?
Actually, they couldn't even get my pulse or any when I was laying there. I think I died at that point there. Eventually, what happened for me, I woke up 3 days later in the hospital. They lost me a couple of times. And then on the operating table later on, they also lost me a couple of times.
Why do you think God spared your life, Steve?
I spent 17 years asking that very question. Like, God, why? What is the purpose? I felt like there was a greater calling that he was going to use me at some point. It may have been to save one person. It may be to save thousands. I don't know.
The issue of forgiveness. I know we, as Christians, we're told to forgive. And a lot of times we say we've forgiven people. But to actually forgive, that is a long, hard process. How did you, even though your shooter ended up taking his own life, how were you able to eventually forgive him?
I spent a long time hating the person who shot me. I belong to an organization called Op Overwatch, which is a Christian police ministry to help deal with suicide within law enforcement. And as part of Op Overwatch, we got together with an organization called Saving Grace Ministries. I told my story, gave my testimony, and there was a gentleman sitting 6 feet away from me that was sobbing. I knew he was a parolee, so I'm wondering, like, okay, why is he really sobbing? So then he spoke next. His name was Frankie, and he proceeded to say that 2 weeks before, he'd just gotten out of prison, spent 42 years in prison for murdering an Erie County Sheriff's deputy. He turns and he's facing me and he's like personally talking to me and he's talking about how Christ saved him and he's looking at me and he knew a lot about the officer and he was seeking forgiveness from the family of the officer for what he did. But he also said, I want forgiveness from the law enforcement family. Could you forgive me for what I did? And as he's sitting there, what's going through my mind is here's the person that shot me, now dead, committed suicide that night. But I'm thinking to myself now, 17 years later, if he was sitting there 6 feet away from me asking me for forgiveness. Am I able to forgive him? Would I be able to say, yeah, I can forgive you? So I looked at Frankie and I said, yeah, I can forgive you. That was a release for me, and it was a release for him.
You look at, you know, the defund the police movement that we see and the riots across the country. What would you say to that police officer, Steve, that's just kind of ready to throw in the towel, hand in the badge, say it's not worth it?
I think the part of the issue is that we need an honest and open discussion from both sides on this issue. I think the law enforcement side and the community need to come together. I think for those police officers who feel hopeless, there is an answer, and it's Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much, guys. That's Steve Ritchie speaking with Family Life's Bill Price. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks ending down today after the Dow and the S&P 500 both closed at record levels yesterday thanks to strong economic data and hopes of a smooth recovery. The Dow today falling 96 points, the NASDAQ dropped 7, and the S&P 500 was down 4. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life. Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Waco, Texas is title town. The Baylor Bears beat undefeated Gonzaga 86-70 last night to win their first NCAA men's basketball championship. Baylor jumped out to an early 19-point lead and never looked back, as the Zags didn't get any closer than 9 points the rest of the way.
Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
Gonzaga was 32-0 on the year and had won 36 straight dating back to last season until Baylor's beatdown. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game has a new host city after the league pulled out of Atlanta due to Georgia's new voting law. The annual game will be played in the Mile High City of Denver.
Denver last hosted the games a while back in 1998.
That's News Nation's Rob Nelson. The North Carolina Tar Heels have a new head men's basketball coach, and they didn't have to look far. Longtime assistant Hubert Davis will replace Roy Williams. He's been an assistant in Chapel Hill for the past 9 years and becomes the first black head coach in UNC men's basketball history.
Everything significant in my life has happened here. I grew up here, I played basketball here, I got an education here and graduated with a criminal justice degree. I met my best friends here, I fell in love with my wife here. I became a Christian here.
Davis, who played at Carolina from 1988 to 1992, also played in the NBA for 12 seasons and previously served as a college basketball analyst for ESPN. And 3 years after hailing him as their franchise quarterback, the New York Jets have traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a sixth-round pick this year and a second and third rounder in 2022. ESPN's Tony Kornheiser.
This means that the Jets are going to go get a quarterback. So who do they get? Do they get Zach Wilson? Do they get Justin Fields? Do they get Mac Jones? They obviously are in the market to get somebody.
Darnold was the Jets' number 3 overall pick in 2018. For Family Life Sports, I'm Brittany Dixon.
Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast. For tonight, rather cloudy, couple of scattered showers, a low in the 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow, chance for a shower, especially in the morning in western Pennsylvania. Otherwise, some sunshine, the high in the 60s. We'll have some sunshine on Thursday. High temperatures in the mid-60s to the middle 70s. It'll be cooler along the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers has started his two-week stint as guest host of Jeopardy. Last night, he handled himself with calm after receiving a ribbing question from a contestant referring to a call made during the Packers NFC Championship clash in January against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal?
Thank
That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect.
In that game, the Packers trailed Tampa Bay 31-23 in the fourth quarter with just 2 minutes on the clock. With a fourth and goal at the Bucs' 8-yard line, Packers coach Matt LaFleur elected to kick a field goal. It cut the lead to 31-26, but the Packers could not get a stop and never touched the ball again. Following the airing of the show, Rodgers answered some questions on Facebook Live with his fiancée, Shailene Woodley.
What is favorite Jeopardy category? Go.
My favorite Jeopardy category when I was on the show was probably the Bible category. I picked that because I grew up in the church and I felt like Mark and Kevin weren't going to be ready for that category, and I got 4 out of 5.
By the way, the Green Bay Packers QB, prepping to enter his 17th season in Wisconsin, said he'd be willing to shave clean to become the permanent answer man on Jeopardy. That's the world we live in this 6th of April. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.